Thank you, and good evening. Pastor Liam McCahill and my wife and Pastor Dwight and Claudia Allshouse, we were all up in Pittsburgh this weekend. Okay, all the Pittsburgh folks who are not Steelers fans, could you please just like go, woohoo, Pittsburgh, yay, get it over with. Okay, there. They're done. Well, we had a great time. Wonderful, wonderful church. They're very, there's a line in one of Shakespeare's plays. It's totally out of context here. But the line is, though she be but little, she is fierce. And, you know, the church in Pittsburgh is small, but they are very well-founded believers. And, you know, there's demons that tremble because of those people. We had a great visit. But anyway, on the way back home, we're driving down either on I-76 or I-70, somewhere in there, and we're listening to this morning's message on Pastor Liam's smartphone. And so, we listened to the message, and I texted Pastor Schaller afterwards that it was a great message, you know, loved it. And he said, do you want to share for 5 minutes about it this evening? So we literally, from the highway, we just drove right up in front of church. I got up here just as the singers were coming up for worship service, and here we are. So Pastor Schaller talked about the practicality of our faith and that, you know, our faith becomes a practical thing when we finally, you know, say to the Lord, you know, by your Holy Spirit, sure, I'll even open up that room, you know, that room that we have, you know, where all the stuff gets thrown, all the things we don't want anybody to know about. And we open that room and we let him in and he cleanses house. And it's a practical way to live, folks. You know, it is. And beyond that, I think this might take me to exactly 5 minutes if God is faithful, and he is. Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto thy multitude, the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And, you know, we have to admit that that room's there. But the moment we do, he's faithful to replace it with a clean heart and a renewed spirit. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Not just this. This is the same word, bara, in the Hebrew, which is used several times in Genesis chapter 1 during the whole creation account. And over the course of 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that exists, and he creates in us a new heart, a new frame of reference, a new seat of all motivations for us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. In Hebrews chapter 10, speaking of Christ as the better sacrifice, it speaks about how in the Old Testament believers could go to the temple and they'd offer sacrifices, and they could come away from the temple and, you know, they could say on the outside at least, I'm clean. You know, I've done my sacrifices. I'm all cleaned up. But they knew that inside they were still the same wretched men they were before. We have a better sacrifice. We who go to the cross can walk away from that cross and say, hey, I'm still filthy on the outside. I'm still a wretch. But inside, I'm a whole new creation. I'm all new. It's all clean. I'm righteous. I'm perfect in God's sight. Even if I'm not perfect in my own sight, and I know I'm not perfect in yours. But that's what we celebrate, isn't it? Isn't that a practical way to live? Amen.
Wow, there's a good word, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that in eternity past, when God decided to make us, if you can say that he made that decision, from a human viewpoint, we could say that, and knew the end from the beginning, and I know I have two microphones right now, one in my cheek and one in my hand, but I'm Pastor Steve, you're going to use this one or no? Okay. Then I'll turn this one on. So the Lord, go to Pastor Bill Alex and Pastor Steve. Pastor Bill, I wanted to give a shout out to you tonight for a minute. But as he brings the microphone over to you, I want you to think about that. God made us, and even though knowing we would be disobedient and that we would sin, that even though it contradicts his nature, his holiness and his perfection, he did it knowing that he would take the hit, that he would become a man, that he would redeem us, that he would come and die, that he would do all of this. So he made us with this in mind, that some would believe, be redeemed, and we would have eternal life. And though we are sinners, God would say, you are righteous. You are as perfect as my son. When you think about that and you realize that God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. God's ways are not man's ways. That man works, that man earns, that man cannot imagine this kind of love, this kind of grace. He cannot comprehend it by logic and by reason. But it must be revealed to us. That even though everything in me says, how could God love me? Maybe not for you. Oh, I thought about this today. Think of doing a terrible sin, but don't carry it out. Yeah, think of a terrible sin, And I know you don't want to do it. You never do it. You're told not to do it. But in this case, do it. That terrible sin. What terrible sin? They are written in the Bible. There are many of them. There is the adultery of David. There's the murder. Think about that. Could you ever do that? You should say, no, I'm afraid I would never. I don't even want to think about it. Well, think about it. I did it. Praise God, I haven't, but I could have, but I did it. I did it. I sinned, like seriously. Not the little sins that, you know, the normal average greater grace does. Greater grace believer, you know, lies a bit, a little bit, or, you know, or whatever sin. No, I mean serious, real violation, absolute sin. Could you forgive yourself? Could you? I'm afraid that some would have a tough time. I'll forgive you, but I don't forgive myself. I think that happens. I have sinned. Yeah, God is saying, yeah. I know you have. You have sinned much worse than you can even imagine. In my mind, in my way of thinking, you have violated the whole list. Way before you really did, you really messed up, you have sinned. Do you realize that? I have sinned. I have committed all the sins. Wow. If you haven't gotten that somehow in your mind and in your heart, then maybe you won't love so much. He that has sinned much loves much. He that has been forgiven much forgives much to others. He that has received mercy gives mercy. Isn't that good? Now, I hope you're following it with me. I think so. I don't know. I kind of don't want you to talk to your neighbor and say, you know, I have really committed terrible and I've been forgiven. But actually, I want you to work on that a little bit. I want you to get a hold of it. Oh, it's so amazing that Christ would say, you are judged, you are unworthy, you are unworthy of the least of my mercies, you could never make it, you're so far out of the game you can't even imagine, but I, God, will save you. Who saves you? God. How? He takes the hit. He is judged. God's Son. God gave His Son. God gave His Son. God gave His Son. God came Himself. God came. God's Son came. God's Son came. Do you see? I am such a great sinner. I have done it all. I am unworthy of the least of His mercies. I have failed. I am a sinner of the greatest magnitude. I am. And I'm not just saying it. But I want to really, really get a hold of that in my heart, because there may be a day when you really will mess up. It will be really hard for you to forgive yourself. I read a story about a man in Texas. There's somebody that broke into the house. He was in the dark. He pulled a gun out, shot the burglar. It was his daughter. He shot his daughter dead. Tragedy. How could I live with myself? Tragedy, terrible. Why, God, why? Good question. That's why our Bible is not only a issue of logic and reason, it is a revelation of a person. That is why my faith is not just a religion. It is a revelation of His grace and of His nature. And listen to this. Of His Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will visit that man in Texas as a brother, as a man of God, a man of faith. And we pray that God would heal him and bless him and help him as the Comforter. You know, we take comfort in a glass of lemonade and a good sandwich and an easy chair, there must be a deeper comfort, that God himself would come and comfort us, and that he would visit us when we have sinned, visit us when there's a tragedy, visit us when we're in a lot of pain, visit us when we're very disappointed, and that we would find that God would say in heaven, you do not know my ways, you do not know who I am. I'm inviting you, I want you to know, as Pastor Phil said, that God would create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Then I will open my mouth and I will know and praise God. There's another point. Praising God all the day long. When we know God, it becomes part of our life. Praising God. Ray, just really say it in your mouth. Praising God. When you say it in your car, praising God. Thanking God, singing a song, worshiping God, believing God, praising God, a way of life. Because his grace is sufficient, because he has never left us, because he has words for us, because he has a message that is kind and tender, but he's a blazing fire. God is very kind and tender to us, but he's a very fervent warrior. He is a soldier. Our God is a warrior. He is a fighter, but he is also a heavenly father. Yeah, it's amazing. Many things. I just wanted to ask Pastor Bill Elkson. I want to say to you, Pastor Bill, I was thinking about you. I'm amazed at your faith. I believe you're a man of God. I am amazed at what you do. I am amazed that you go places preaching. I'm amazed that the NBA is still tolerating you. I'm amazed that you get on the phone. I'm amazed that you do it all by faith. I'm amazed that you do it because you love people. And Curly Owens is one of your mentors. And I love it. I'm joking. Maybe he is. He is, actually. I love it that you have courage. I love it that you do it anyway. I love it that you never quit. I love it that you preach the gospel. I love it when you're in a basketball court, you want to make a three-pointer, but even more, you want to preach the gospel and make Christ known to the nations. You do. Now get up and say something.
Well, thanks for those kind, encouraging words, but I love it that I'm in this church. I love it that we have these kind of messages and leaders lead by example. They commute Africa, Europe, Asia. We're an evangelistic church, you know, and that's what we do. And I'm just excited about being here. I'm excited about finishing strong. I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I'm excited I have brothers and sisters like all of you. Thank you, Pastor Schall. I appreciate the encouragement. God bless you.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Well, we're going to be, and by the way, you can see about our trip to Belarus that we took. It's going to be on the 700 Club Tuesday, the 24th of August, a special segment on Sports Power going to Belarus. And in the near future, Lord willing, we're going to go to the Philippines with Manny Pacquiao and the ballplayers, Cuba, China. This is all Lord willing, but, you know, the Lord does what he does, and there's nothing too hard for him, and there's lots of people that need to find Christ, and it's not just for special calling people, it's for all of us, whether it's our next-door neighbor or whoever God puts in our path, you know, but nothing's too hard for God. So we're going to go all over the world, Pastor Schaller.
You're doing it.
And we're doing it because God's faithful.
Yeah, you're doing it because it's in your heart.
It's in my heart.
You believe it.
I believe it.
Nothing stops you.
Nothing stops me.
Talk back to me.
I'm talking back to you.
Okay. That's the way it is.
All right.
And if you die, you do it because you're called.
Excuse me?
You're clear.
No, I believe that. I believe that. I do.
No, and so this past year, where have you been? Belarus?
We went to Belarus.
Israel, did you go there?
We were in Israel a couple years ago. We've been a lot of places. We're going a lot of places. Colombia, South America, Panama. We're going a lot of places, yeah. It's exciting. And the thing is, we can just be who we are, step into God's place. He uses us. Then the Holy Spirit does what he does, convicts people. People respond to the gospel. And then you come home, ball players give you a hug, say thank you very much. Their lives are changed. And you kept your eyes on God the whole time. And he does it.
Mm. Great. Turn with me to an interesting portion of Scripture. First, what, you want to stand for a second? Why don't you do that? Stand for a second, say, pray for Bill Alkson. Tell your neighbor, pray for Bill Alkson. God bless you. Have a word of encouragement. Say to your neighbor, pray for Pastor Bill Alkson. Thanks, Pastor. All right, turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts, read it, please. My thoughts are not your thought. My thoughts are not, is it verse 8? My thoughts, God is speaking, are not your thoughts. Wednesday night we spoke about Job's three friends, and God was angry with them. But then he said, they have not spoken the thing that is right that Job has spoken. Job has spoken what is right. In Job 42. But if you read the book of Job and you see how angry Job was, you wonder, why is God impressed with Job, but he's angry with the other three guys? And the reason is because of their spirit, their arrogance, their judgmental attitude. There are people that may say the right thing, but they are not saying it with brokenness. Like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember, the demonized woman said about the Apostle Paul, "These are the men that show us the way of salvation." Remember in Acts 16? "These are the way of men that show us the way of salvation. These are the men that show us the way." She said the right thing. But her spirit was not right. She was of the devil. So, in this portion, verse 8, "My thoughts," God is saying, "are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Okay. Then turn to 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1, verse 16. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You may be seated. You know, sometimes I think about our faith and I think it's like a fairy tale. A fairy tale goes like this. Once upon a time, you know, Nancy and Jim were living in a paradise. Everything was great. Then the villain came, life went upside down. Then a hero came and delivered them, and they lived happily ever after. This is actually like the Bible. The Bible starts with Adam and Eve in paradise, and then the villain comes, and then the hero Christ comes, and then we live happily ever after. Actually, that is written in the heart. Because we don't believe that God made us to destroy us. He made us with it all in mind. That what he started in the beginning was very good, and when he ends, it is perfect. Wow. Peter, so to be honest, sometimes I think, did we make this up? Have we invented this? Have we gotten this just because, and this is the way that we want to think because it's in our nature? Peter addresses that, and he says, we have not followed cunningly devised stories, fairy tales, or fables. No, he made known unto us the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty, Peter says. We saw it. We saw his majesty. We were up on the mountain and he was praying and he turned white and he was shining and there was Moses and Elijah next to him. We were there. Then he says in verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What do you mean, Peter? Yeah, we were there. We heard the voice. What do you mean, a voice? We heard a voice, and it came from heaven. And it was at the same time when we saw Christ's majesty. Out of his humanity, he was shining. And we heard a voice. When I said, let's build three tabernacles, the voice said, this is my Son, hear him. So Peter didn't forget that experience. And he writes it here. And he says in the verses a little bit earlier, I'm going to die soon. God has shown me I'm going to put away this tabernacle, referring to his body. And I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. I want you to know why I have believed, what it is that I have seen, and that I heard a voice. That voice is the key to what I want to say tonight regarding God's ways, God's thoughts. Revelation, we call it at times. We say the revelation of the person of Christ. More than doctrine, I want to point that out in a minute. When I went to Bible college many years ago, Pastor Stephen said, we're going to learn doctrine, but we're going to learn more than doctrine. We're going to know the person of Christ. We're going to learn our Bible, but we're going to learn more than just our Bible and knowledge. We're going to actually experience in a way that is beyond what you could say a pietistic movement, a holiness movement, a charismatic movement, a Pentecostal movement, or maybe a Quaker movement or a holiness movement, which I did mention. There'll be a voice. Look at it with me, verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. What is the holy mount? The place where he was praying. He called that the holy mount, where he was transfigured. And we heard a voice on the holy mount. And we realize that this is a lot bigger than us. This is Christ in the world. That is the Christ that you and I know and worship. As we said this morning, we are not by nature, we are idolaters, but when we are open to Him and we welcome Him into our messy room, when we invite Him into our crazy life, when we don't put Him in a box, we say, God, I don't dare put you in the box, because there is the reality of God that is beyond the reason of man, as we see in the story of Job. You see, Job, I love the story. In the beginning, he had a great big family, 10 children, and he was a man who was awesome. He was right in every way. He was keeping himself away from evil, and he was fearing God, and he had it in his mind, maybe my children have cursed God at one of their parties, because his family had the habit of having parties quite often, family get-togethers. And he didn't have any problem with that, but he said that maybe at one of those parties, one of my children has cursed God in their heart. So I will offer a sacrifice. I will offer a sacrifice. And maybe by this, evil will stay away from my family. We all think like that. But the evil struck. And read that chapter. Use the Amplified Bible. Use the many different versions of that chapter and read it and kind of get it in your mind. The devil is the power of the air. He sent lightning. He sent a hurricane. The devil is the devil of evil men. He sent evil men to destroy the family. Evil men, two groups of people. Evil men to slaughter the shepherds. Evil men to slay people. Amazing. I am afraid, Lord, that could happen in my life. The Lord said, you got that right. It could happen. Lord, you mean an evil man could come and upset my life? Yes. That's what the story says. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Then, Lord, how could I protect my family? How could I protect my life from some tragedy or devastation? The Lord will say, I don't have any answer for you. Only that I am God. Only that I invite you to know me. I don't have any guarantee or any answer for you. We read them in Proverbs 1:33 that he keeps us because we fear God. He keeps us from the fear of evil. But it doesn't mean that a day could not come where God would say to the devil, you have this one day. John Sable mentioned it to me tonight. Regarding Christ, the devil wanted to kill and destroy the plan of God. Kill Christ. And he couldn't do it until that one day that God allowed. Because it had to be on the day that the prophet said in Daniel 9. And it had to be pierced through the hands and feet in Psalm 22. The devil, God said, you can have him. Regarding Christ, the devil, a hungry, ravenous beast, a actually very bright creature, but actually playing into the hands of Almighty God. God is saying, you can have my son. I give you one day. I'll open the door. You can pour out your fury upon him. You can smite him, crucify him, slay him, but it's my plan. I win. You play into my hands. I win. Regarding Job, Job had the great pain, but he also had the living God. And at the end of the trial, Job said, I put my hand on my mouth. I have nothing to say, but only that you are God. You are the God I can trust, and I trust you. Though you slay me, I will trust you. What is this? It's more than just doctrines. It has to be a throbbing, moving, pulsating. It has to be a trust, a getting it in my heart, a practical application of faith. That's what it is. And that's why Peter is saying at the end of his life here, in verse 17, for he received from God honor and glory when there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, Bible college is starting soon. I want to know the Son of God. I graduated in 1975. Every year of my life, I've been in Bible college. Imagine the privilege. Every year except one from 1975. That's 40 years minus one. Where were you in that 1 year? I was backslidden. Now, I was a missionary in Finland, but we had no Bible college. But after that 1 year, we started one, and we've been doing it ever since. Isn't that... what I want to say about that is, here we have another year. And it doesn't, I don't ever get tired of it, because this is more than just doctrine. This is the voice from the Holy Mount, so to speak. This is this still small voice of the Word. This is the mystery when you say, I don't really know. I love that in a rap session, when we have a rap session and somebody asks a question, we can say, I don't really know. That's a good question. But I don't know, but let us seek him, follow him, and learn about him. Let us know him, for his thoughts are not ours. Now I need to find something bigger than the logic of men. But we need to find the person of God. Have you ever been in prayer? Really? And you were just in prayer, and then the visitation of God came, and it was just there. God was there with you, and you sat there or knelt there, and you knew you were in God's presence. And there you were. And it's hard to say to people, they may not understand it, but there it is. There's something about it that is so great that words cannot describe it. It is something mystical. Have you ever been kind of bored or tired in your life, and then you just realized, though I am not experiencing God, I know God is here, and in a way I'm experiencing him, but not in my way. I'm experiencing him in some way that I don't understand, but I'm living by faith, and he is pleased with us in our faith. There are charismatic people that follow God with experience. But no, we may have experiences, but we have much more. No experience, but trust. No feelings, but trust. No real deep, no understanding in a human way, but an understanding in a spiritual way where the Spirit says to us, this is the way, trust me, I will show you, I will guide you, I will comfort you, I will teach you, I will reveal myself to you. Go be in the body of Christ, walk by faith and trust me, I will show you. I will reveal myself to you. I am rich toward you. I am not against you. Do you understand how much I love you and how much I care for you? Do you realize how much I have to say to you, what I can do for you? Do you realize that I can change your life in a second? And we say, yes, well, no, but yes. Well, actually, I don't know. And the Lord says, very good then. Trust me. I will show you. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Wait a minute. A voice at the mount, and now you're talking a more sure word of prophecy. What is that? That's the Bible. The Bible is a sure word of prophecy. Wait a minute, you may not believe me about the voice on the mount, but you can believe Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and Zechariah 9 and chapter 12. Verse 19, whereunto you do well that you take heed, really pay attention to it. I was thinking about it today. I was thinking about a person getting financial security. And if a man had an opportunity to get a lot of money all at once, people would say, oh, wow, that's amazing, that's a blessing. And then I thought, oh, no, the greater one is to get the word in your heart. The greater one is that I can memorize it, meditate on it. It is as gold. It is like rubies, wisdom. It is pure. It is like honey. It is the core and the center of hearing and understanding and believing. My daughter, Amy, one time when she was a little girl, she said, Dad, if you have any regrets about your life, I remember she's in the back seat. And nobody had ever asked me that question before. And if you knew Amy, you'd understand that she's like a serious about the question. Dad, you could live your life over. Would you do it differently? I'm looking in the rear view. Are you some philosopher or something? What's going on? She's 7 years old. And I thought about it. I go, no, Amy, I don't think I have no regrets. There's nothing I would have done differently. And I thought, she must think I'm, you know, something's missing. No regrets, Dad? Nothing different? No, I don't have. I cannot say that. And one reason why we cannot say it is because regret is a dead end. And maybe we can finish with this lesson. Listen to this. Regret is a dead end. Practice it. Try it. Okay. I mean, think about it. Okay, here we go. I wish that I had not done this, but I had done that. Okay, fine. Where'd it bring you? Dead end. I cannot change it. Nothing has changed. I'm in the same place. It's like gymnastics, going up, doing twisting, jump, and landing. Where'd I go? It was an exercise of tumbling and jumping and landing in the same place. Regret is a dead end. A man that says, I regret the woman that I married, it's a dead end. It doesn't change it. I regret that I took that job. It's a dead end. It does nothing. Martha and Mary said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yeah, he's dead. That's the answer. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Uh-huh. Who does? We got to live in reality. Reality. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You live in regret. I live in reality. Reality, what I say, what I think, how I live, thinking with God, there is no regret. You process your life through God. God is sovereign. What has happened has happened. I am trusting in God. It is the way it is. I'm learning to hear a voice that is a more sure word of prophecy. This is it. Verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Wait a minute, Peter. Didn't you deny the Lord 3 times? Yes, I did. But I am not living in my failure. I'm living in the sure word of prophecy. What prophecy? Christ is risen. Christ is the way, the truth, and life. I have God's thoughts now. I have a prayer life where I bring it all to Him. and say, my heart is broken, Lord, like Job. My heart is broken. The Lord said, come on, give it to me. Go ahead, pour it out. Tell me what you are thinking. Come on, give it to me, Job. You can talk to me, but I need you to be honest. Let me go in that dirty room. Let me look around in your house. Let me be there with you because I am the healer. I am the forgiver. I am the restorer. I am the savior. I am the comforter. I am the counselor. Wow. So there we go. Verse 19. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Let's take the sure word of prophecy until the day dawns. That dawning of God's reality filling our eternal lives and perspective. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible is the sure word of prophecy. And we do well when we take heed to it. And this is what has changed our lives. Isn't it amazing that we don't have regret? In a way we do, but in another way we are healed. In a way we are disappointed, but in another way we are healed. In a way we are troubled in our life, but in another way it is okay. In a way, Job could say, I lost my 10 children, but in another way I don't understand it. God is bigger than my world, and I am a worshiper of God, and so I trust him. And it says he lived another 140 years. This is amazing. Okay, Job lives. This is the long period of time. He has his trial, loses his 10 children, goes through the trial. He lives 140 years. And you know how many generations he saw? He saw 10 more children, and he saw their children, and then he saw their children. Yeah, see, one, two, three, and then he saw their children. That's a big family. What does it mean? The Lord is wanting to say to us, you may have a tough, but I'm also a tough God. It may be tough, but I can handle it. I made the world and I made you, and you do well. You have not followed cunningly devised fables. You didn't make it up. I reveal it to you, and it's real. And I want you to know not only the doctrine, but I want to know you. I want you to know my person. And when you know my person, you'll know that I am able. I can carry you. I can bless you. I can heal you. I can do it. And I can give you a long life with great blessing, as he did for Job. Okay, I hope this encourages you. God bless you. Would you pray with me? Lord, what we're trying to say tonight is get us beyond just the logical and natural mindset of our, we could say, maybe American or cultural Christianity. Oh no, there's something much more that we have seen and we are hungry for. Get us, Lord, beyond just the experiences of a one thing, or maybe a thing we like, or maybe even answered prayer. God, always answering my prayer, and then no more, it seems. More trouble. Then get us into that depth that is more sure word of prophecy. Get us beyond. I have answers for everything, answers for everything, answers for everything to a mystery. I do not know, but I know the one that knows. I cannot answer that, but I know God who is caring, and he has the answer for it all. And then use this in our evangelism, that we would not be just one-sided in our ministry, in our conversation, but very tender-hearted and wise, direct, firm, caring, listening, ministering, helping, encouraging. That this would be a soul-winning church, and it is. But even more, as you give the word and put it in our hearts, we are in a place where we can minister and help others find Christ. Some will come and say, could you tell me this or that? Yes. Give us good, solid answers, Lord. Jesus, if you're listening on the internet and you don't have Christ, open the door. He will come in. If you are here tonight listening and you don't have Christ, now is the time. If you're here tonight and you're searching but you never really believe, tonight do it. Believe in your heart. Trust him. He will do it for you. Yes. Raise your hand here in the auditorium. Just say yes to Jesus. Raise your hand, please. The ushers will help you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray. Lord, at the end of this summer, bring out people. We have many visitors through the summer. Bring out people and lead them directly. Speak to them directly. Show them directly. Guide them. And as pastors, lead us. Guide us. Show us. Lead us. Use us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Speak directly by the Holy Spirit to the heart, we pray. And then in our trials, Lord, with the worst sin we could ever commit, God forbid, but if it happened, it is not the end. It is something God can say to us. I am God. Look at me. Follow me. Trust me. I will take it away. It'll be gone. The effect of it, everything about it is gone because I am your God. Not like any other. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.